certainly is a blessing to be with men, a group of men who have a heart for God, hunger for the Lord. And one of the great blessings of doing that is that when there are men like that, God just shows up. And where God is, I want to be. Amen. Just a couple of things that Peril asked me to mention just briefly. A word about the ladies' conference. And I do want to encourage you men to encourage your wives to come. The reason why it's cheaper, the brother was right yesterday, is not the distance that the speakers have to travel, but rather the speakers. But as Brother Harold testified, even of our church, it really is not because it has a great preaching pastor, but because it has a great God. And I learned that early in my life. But we will be here, my wife will be coming, but one of the great mistakes that I made in the early part of my Christian experience was I didn't, a phrase I like to use, I didn't keep my wife on the same page. And God has said that she is one with you. She is your helpmeet, a helper comparable to you, and that she is your partner in life, in ministry, in vocation. She is your partner. And I do not know how that you can move forward without your partner moving forward. And so you need to prayerfully consider encouraging her to come. And there will be other women here and other women of God, and God will show up and God will speak to their hearts. So I encourage you to prayerfully consider this matter of your wife coming and being a part of that wonderful time with God. Just a comment about revival. Re means again. Vival means life. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And so revival is nothing more than coming again to Jesus. And be careful not to seek revival. Seek Christ. Be careful not to be looking for revival. Look for Jesus. Because He is what we seek after. And we sure don't want to make a revival or an experience an idol in our lives. Rather, we want to hunger for God and understanding that when God shows up, He shows up in revival. Amen. Take your Bible, if you would, and I'd like to read a couple of texts in different places. I'd like to speak this morning on the subject of brokenness. The subject of brokenness. In Matthew in chapter 21, verse 43 and 44. Matthew 21, 43. Therefore I, Christ, say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. Notice he is speaking here of the kingdom of God. Notice the seriousness of not bearing the fruits of that kingdom is that it can be taken away. And that fruit, I believe, is spoken of in verse 44, the fruit that he is looking for. It's a spiritual fruit, an inner fruit. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken. But on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. The phrase there, and whoever falls on this stone will be broken. Our brother read this text earlier. I'd like to just read again a verse out of the text in Psalm 51, if you would, the 51st Psalm. Psalm 51. You know that this is a time of David's confession of sin. And obviously in this prayer is honesty and transparency and specific confession of sin. But David, in the midst of that, mentions another principle. It's the principle of brokenness. So in Psalm 51 in verse 17, let's read verse 16 along with 17. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. That's critical, brethren, in these days. You know, God, as Brother Harold was mentioning, is not looking for greater sacrifice, but rather obedience. Obedience. You delight in, do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we are blessed this morning that we can call you Father. And Lord, we praise you that when we say that word, it is not empty. But we praise you, O Father, that it is full of meaning and purpose and spiritual value to us. For thou art our Father through the person of Jesus Christ, and we rejoice over this. Lord, there's great security, great assurance, and great confidence in knowing that we have a Father like you. Oh, what rest comes when we comprehend our Father in some way. Now, Lord, again, if I just express this to you, Lord, I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that if anything will be done this morning, O God, it'll have to be you and not me. I've learned this through life. So, Father, I come with nothing to offer. I come, O Lord, with nothing to give these men. But, Lord, I don't come here alone. And, God, I praise you that you delight to fill and anoint your servants for the hour. 10,000 times more than I want to be empowered, you want to empower me. And, God, the best I know how, I'm clean. Best I know how, I'm surrendered. And Lord, the best I know how, I'm believing. And God, so I thank you and praise you for the anointing and the filling of the Holy Spirit, even for this hour. God, I pray that the preaching of thy word this morning and of thy truths would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but, O God, would be a demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. Lord, you know we've come in these days and we just want you to break out upon us, O God. It is you that will make the difference, Lord. So, God, I pray that you would give men perhaps who have prayed through the night some and are maybe a little tired and they've settled through a lot of sessions, Lord, and you've blessed us so much and so richly. I pray you'd give us the energy and strength for this hour. And I pray, God, that the sweet dew of the Holy Spirit would fall upon the ears and hearts of men. God, as we consider this truth of brokenness, O Lord. Now, God, we praise you and thank you in advance for what you're going to do. I want you to know, Lord, I'm for you. I haven't just given my life to you, O God, but I've given my life for you. If you need someone this morning to be humiliated, that's what I'm for, O God. Lord, whatever you need a servant for, I volunteer, Lord, this morning without reservation. Nor hesitation, O Lord. Now we praise you and thank you, dear God, for hearing and answering our prayers. We offer them up with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. I would like to start just with a definition of brokenness. And not that it's easy to define. But if you would turn to the book of Isaiah in chapter 6. Isaiah in chapter 6. We know here that Isaiah met God. The wonderful grace and mercy of God in Isaiah's life saw fit to give Isaiah a vision of God. And this is what we need, men. A vision of God. But as he received this vision of the Lord, he cries out in this text of verse 5, So Isaiah says, "And so I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips." I'd like to focus in just a moment on the word undone. The word undone is a word that means shattered. I am shattered, Isaiah said. I am undone. The concept here of the word undone is that internally, within his own spirit and with his own soul, every fiber of his being had just unloosed itself and undone the concept of brokenness. So this matter of brokenness, in the definition of just the word, would be that it is a matter of becoming inwardly shattered. But I think as we define that word, it would be important to understand the self-life, the inner man. And that is that you cannot speak of the old nature, that old Adamic nature in man, but not going to the core, but without going to the core of that. And as we go to the core of the old man, we see sitting there a throne. And on that throne, we see sitting there the will, the self-will of the Adamic man. And that self-will trusts in itself. That self-will believes that it is wise enough to have the answers to its own life. That self-will has a dependency upon itself. And that self-will just sits there, confident, pulling ahead. Stiff-necked, God speaks of it also. And even in Isaiah's life, a man called of God to preach, a man called of God to be a prophet, and perhaps the greatest prophet of all of the prophets of the Old Testament. In the first five chapters of the book of Isaiah, we saw this prophet preaching, and as he preached against sin, he cried out, "Woe is you! Woe is you! Woe is you!" Now we find that as he's had a vision of God given by the Spirit of the living God, he now no longer is crying out, "Woe is you," but now he cries out, "Woe is me." So this matter of brokenness is when a man comes to a point of being shattered, a shattered will. We could continue to define it. It is a realization of a man's inadequacy, a realization of a man's utter depravity, a realization of a man's utter need of something outside of himself. He's coming to a place in his life that his need is growing to the point he cannot go on without God. He cannot go on without God. He has become so conscious of his need, he will not attempt to go on without God. Nor even because he will not attempt to go on without God, because he knows God is in his brothers and sisters, he will not attempt to go on without God's people. Shatteredness. Brokenness of the will. And you cannot speak of that man sitting upon that throne, the old nature, without understanding that wrapped around that strong will, that self-will of that old Adamic nature, is the strong pride of mankind. Strong pride. C.S. Lewis said that pride is an anti-God state of mind. It is a mindset that is contrary to God. It actually is a mindset that sees itself as God. Not necessarily the God of the universe. Nor does a man's own nature necessarily want to be the God who is in control of the universe, but is in his own pride. He wants to have his own kingdom. And so he naturally, the old man, without being taught, without being trained, without being disciplined, he naturally establishes his kingdom around himself. I've seen this happen. I remember in our church that there was a, as we began our church, there was a young lady that was playing the piano, and she had a great heart for the Lord. She didn't play that well, but at least she was willing to serve the Lord. I remember after we were 3 or 4 months old, another lady came into the church that was just an excellent pianist, and I grew to know that, and I sat with her and asked, would she like to share in the duties of playing the piano? And she sort of shied away and very humbly explained that, no, I really don't want to do that. I just want to be in the shadows. I don't want to be seen. I just want to serve the Lord in the shadows. And I compelled her and encouraged her that she ought to use her talent for God. And so she began to share the duties, and ultimately the other young lady moved into another area of playing in the ministry, and so she became the main pianist. And a year or so had passed away, and into the church walked another lady who had a great ability to play the piano. And as a pastor, I just thought this would be wonderful if they could share these duties. And so I approached this dear lady who didn't want to be noticed, who wanted to be into the shadows, and who appeared to be so humble. And I approached her about sharing those duties. And then within the next day, I heard gossip through some of the ladies of the church how she had called another lady and said, you know, I just can't understand. I've poured my life out and my heart out, and that's my place of service and where God has called me to be. And yet the pastor, I don't understand why he's moving me out of this. You see, what had happened then is that that piano had become her kingdom. Become her kingdom. And here was a lady that was faithful to church. There was a lady that was faithful to give and faithful in a service. She was not a broken lady. Unbroken. Men, I just don't want us to play games. I've been in this work of revival and prayer, and I flopped and failed in about any way anyone could do. And even God has spoken to my own heart. I've been listening to our dear anointed brother preaching, especially on this subject of prayer. And I have a testimony as being a man of prayer, but all through these messages, I've just been hearing the Lord and God's voice saying, you don't pray as you ought, you don't pray, would spend time with God as you ought, and you don't spend time with your wife as you ought, and you don't spend time with your children as you ought. And I've said that all of my life, and yet it was last night in the services I was sitting there, and I was opening up my heart to these issues before God. God brought my heart to say, Lord, I see the problem here. I'm a thief, God. This is the real issue, Lord. It's not that I don't pray as I ought. It's not that I don't pray with my wife as I ought. And not that I don't pray with my children as I ought. God, I've robbed from you. God, I've robbed from my wife. And God, I've robbed from my children. So I come as a man needy just like you are. But I do want to say that I've seen the movings of God, and I've seen the workings of the Lord, and I've seen men involved and around those kind of things, and yet I've seen something missing obviously in many. That is this matter of the shatteredness of the will. The shatteredness of that pride. I tell you, you'll deal with pride the rest of your life. When it is shattered, you'll see it. I tell you a story of two men that have walked with me through the years. They're sad stories. Sad stories. These are two men that have walked with me. As Brother Harold shared, they've prayed with me. They've confessed their sins. And by the way, with brokenness will come confession, but confession is not brokenness. More than that. I've heard men through the conference saying, I was broken, and I hope that's true. But I want to tell you that brokenness is not emotionally weeping. There very well may be that,
But often our weeping is because of what sin has done to us. I'll tell you, when you are broken, you see what sin has done to God, especially Christ on Calvary. Brokenness is not being broken over your financial condition or broken over the condition of your marriage. Brokenness is broken over your rebellion against God, a holy God. These two men walked understanding, and often when you get in a circle like this, as these two men walk with me, then you just simply change your pattern some. You learn what you're supposed to be doing, and you learn that you're supposed to be getting honest, so you begin to get honest, and often really what you're doing is like an onion. You never get down to the core of that onion. You just sort of deal sometimes with the outer layers of the onion. These men were like that. Something else I found about this matter of brokenness, it is not an issue that you really can address in any real way in a man's heart. It must be the God and the Spirit of the living God who addresses it in men's hearts. One of these brethren, in the latter years of his life, sin began to come out that he had covered. Yet in hours and times of confession, he had confessed many other things, but he had not uncovered that particular sin. And as his pastor, when I found out about it, I approached this dear brother. And it took a lot of working just to get him to finally to acknowledge it, and no real genuine repentance. One of the most grievous years of my life has been this year, when ultimately this brother who had said he had met God in revival, and this brother who had prayed with me, and this brother who had walked with me in many, many ways, and was a leader in our church and a leader across our nation. But ultimately, I had to carry out church discipline upon that dear brother. When I had to do that, he walked in that night and threw a $3 million thread of a suit to our church. And I say, that is not a broken man, beloved. Well, thank God he hadn't filed it. The word is that he will not. I tell you, beloved, I watched that man. I watched him at our prayer conferences come here. I watched him pray. I watched him testify. But deep in my spirit and in my soul, I knew he was a man who had never been broken before a holy God. He had wept and cried and said all the right things, but that will was never broken. My dearest friend of 16 years, my dearest, closest friend in my life of 16 years, off and on through the years, we would sit and I would understand of troubled things in his marriage and understand of troubled things in his life and no real sense of victory and no real sense of able to come through. And I'd ask him, my dear brother, are you sure, as you listen to me preach on brokenness and you study the Bible in that matter, are you sure that you've been broken before a holy God, this breaking of the will? Questions and doubts in my heart. Now this dear brother, wife has divorced him. He is out of the ministry. The real issue, the brokenness of the will, the shatteredness. If I could picture this, sometimes a picture is worth a thousand words. We're really dealing with the issue of faith. The issue of faith and the issue that really trusts God enough. If you might picture with me here, two thrones. The old man sitting here in his pride, stiff-necked. That when brokenness comes, he is shattered. For he sees in his life an empty throne. He comes to the end of himself. He wouldn't want to go on this way. He could not go on this way. And so in an act of faith, an utter surrender and surrender and honesty, he asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into his inner man and to set upon the throne of his life. You see, there cannot be, beloved, in you two wills. They cannot coexist together. There has to come the end of this will. There has to come moving of this will in your life. And the right posture for a broken man, and the posture that this broken man lives in, is this kind of posture. In his soul and in his spirit, you see the man surrendered to the throne of Jesus Christ, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, broken, needy, humble, would not go on and live any other way other than this. I tell you, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And I tell you, it's quite possible that this old man in his old nature and his pride can sit here and get up and ask Christ to come in and sit down, but still walk around like this. Doesn't want it, it's not shattered, not broken. And it'll even bow to Christ in some areas, but it will not fully, wholly, totally, absolute surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in the heart. So there are areas that are unbowed, unbroken, because of the lack of faith in God, the trust in the old nature. I tell you, beloved, the sin that we need to deal with is the sin of our will. I'd like to speak just a few moments on the importance of brokenness. Go to Isaiah, if you would, in chapter 66. Isaiah 66. In verse 1, God lifts up who He is. Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. He speaks of His awesomeness. He speaks of His lordship. Heaven is my throne, and the awesomeness of God is that as He sits upon His throne, He's so big He's able to rest His feet upon earth. But also in that picture of earth is that earth is to be under His subjection. Under the Lord's feet is under His rule. But He asked a couple of questions here. Where is the house that You will build for me? And where is the place of my rest? Those are great questions, aren't they, men? Now we know in the Old Testament that God's house was an actual building, a temple, but we know in the New Testament that we are the houses of the Lord. And God is saying, as the God and Lord of the universe who sits in heaven and rests His feet upon the earth, where is my house? Where is my temple? Where is the place that I can rest? In verse 2, He answers that, for all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist as the Lord. But on this one will I look, on Him who is of a poor and a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. This is the man that I'll look to. This is the man that I'll bless. This is the man that I'll put my hand upon. This is the man in whom I can rest in his heart and in his soul. Now the importance of it, go to verse 3. Our heart is not, will is not broken. He who kills a bull as if he slays a man. He who sacrifices a lamb as if he breaks a dog's neck. And we don't have to continue to read. The same principle goes on. The principle here is this, that you can come to God and you can offer to God a bull, which was an obedience to the sacrifices of the Old Testament. But God says, you can come to me and offer me this bull in obedience. But if your heart is not broken, your spirit is not contrite, it's as if you slew a man. You can come and place a lamb on the altar, my Jewish people. But if you do not come and place that lamb with a broken and a contrite spirit, it is as if you offered to me a dog. Oh, beloved, oh, divinely beloved one, on Sunday morning in our churches, when we place our offering in the offering plate, if behind that offering is not a broken and a contrite heart, the offering is a stench in the nostrils of the Holy God. And when we have called worship services and we have said that we have come to worship God, our worship of singing very well may be a stench in God's nostrils. We wonder, where is the power of God? We wonder, where is the divine presence of God among us? The manifested presence of God. It is because God reads the hearts of our people. Perhaps our own heart is not a broken and a contrite heart. It's important. Its importance is you cannot please God. You cannot worship God. You cannot know God. You cannot be empowered by God without a broken heart, shattered in. Friend of mine, I'd just like to chat with you a moment about the disciples. Disciples had forsaken all to follow Christ. But there are indications all through the Gospels that these men were not men of a broken spirit. For example, and Jesus, I know, was very aware of this. Because as he got closer and closer to Calvary, he addresses this issue more and more fervently in the disciples' lives. For example, there in Mark in chapter 9 and chapter 10, Jesus hears them, and he deals with this three times in those chapters in their lives. He hears them talking about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, and who's going to get this position, and who's going to get that position. And Jesus overhears the conversation. And he understands that still within them is that self-covetousness. That pride that wanted recognition. That pride that wanted to be somebody. That pride that wanted position. And he said to them, "Do you not understand that he that will be chief among you shall be servant of all? Do you not understand that if you're going to be first, you've got to be last? And he that is slave of all is the chief among you. For the Son of Man did not come into the earth to be ministered unto, but rather to minister." In Peter's life there at the Lord's Supper table, we see evidence of an unbroken spirit that's utterly dependent upon God. Jesus Christ came to him and said, "Peter, before the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times." You know, I think if the Lord had come and said that to me, I think I'd have fallen on my knees and said, "Oh God, you were true. The Lord, the only hope I'll have is, God, if you'll give me grace, then maybe I won't deny you." But I want you to see Peter's dependence upon himself. I want you to see his trust upon himself. I want you to see his still will to go on, his own will to go on in himself. Instead of responding that way humbly, he said, "No, Lord, not so. I'll die for you, Lord." Depending upon himself at that moment, Jesus just simply says, "I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, because Satan would want to sift thee. And I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." So we can be following Christ in some sense. Only until they seen Christ on Calvary. Only till they heard him in the garden praying, "Not my will but thine be done." They seen him die on Calvary, did they begin to get a glimpse of what a broken man is all about. "Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made of himself no reputation. And he took upon him the form of a man and became a servant and became obedient." How far did his obedience, how far did this submission go? How far did this obedience to God go? He was obedient even unto death, even unto the death of the cross.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part 2 of this message, please press 2 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.